Just start off with a few things today. This is your host, Ryan Ben Mike, with another podcast episode. Yesterday we had a couple sad news in the world. News stories anyway. Joanne Rogers, she was the wife of Fred Rogers, who did the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood show. Joanne Rogers died yesterday. She was 92. And then Siegfried from Siegfried and Roy also died. Siegfried was 81. But obviously, it's kind of sad to hear about it. And then also, we only have a week left until Biden is actually like 5 days until Biden's officially sworn in. Hopefully, there will be nothing that would set anything back on that part. This was on the news the other day, and I'm actually surprised that somebody was actually willing to pay this amount of money for it. A 1952 Mickey Mantle rookie card was sold for a breaking record at $5.2 million, and the highest price ever for a baseball card. It was purchased by a guy. The card was purchased by a billionaire boys club actor and entrepreneur Rob Gow. Basically, the guy Gow said that he always dreamed of owning a 1952 Topps Mickey Mantle card since he started collecting baseball cards. It's the Mona Lisa of sports cards, and basically he had been searching for this high-graded example, talking to industry experts, dealers, auction houses, friends, and basically he's ecstatic that he's now the proud owner of such an iconic baseball card. It's one of only six PSA 9 1952 Topps Mickey Mantle cards in existence. Jesse Craig, who's the director of business development, had basically told the PWCC, PWCC Marketplace, and he basically he and basically Jesse spoke highly of the unique item. Some of the other cards that were discovered by two New Jersey brothers who found five of them in their childhood collection, CBS This Morning reported in 2018. Two of the brothers' Mantle cards sold for more than $250,000. The brothers who had owned the cards had priced the third Mantle card, and a near mint version of it was put on display at the National Sports Collectors Convention in Cleveland, and the receiving bid for that one was more than $600,000 at the time. The brothers had got the idea to look through their collect their got the idea to look through their collection when they heard a 52 Topps Mickey Mantle card had nearly sold for nearly $3 million. Former NFL lineman Evan Mathis had parted with that card, and CBS News confirmed with PWCC on Thursday that Gow's card once belonged to the player. And basically, the Mickey Mantle card is considered the holy grail for baseball memorabilia collectors. And Chris Ivey, who's a director of sports auctions for Heritage Auctions, explained that the cards explained why the cards are so valuable. Mickey Mantle is reason why Mickey Mantle's card is so coveted is because he was one of the best players to ever play the game. And in 1952, because they made the cards larger then, they used real photography and they had statistics on the back. So those were all things that were exciting for kids at the time, Ivey told CBS This Morning 2 years ago. The sale of the Mickey Mantle card surpassed the previous record that was held by a Mike Trout rookie card that sold for $3.93 million at an auction last summer. That particular card received a grade of Mint 9 by Beckett Grading Services, which is the third highest grade that card can receive, according to CBS Sports. And that's really it right there. But hell, Mickey Mantle was actually one of the best players to ever play in the game, but even though I've never saw him play personally because he played before my time, but you could always tell stats and everything like that. The guy ended up with 536 home runs in his career and was considered to be the best switch hitter that baseball ever had. And then I spent, and of course, I talked to the Overnight Drive podcast yesterday when I was on my lunch break, and we had some pretty good stuff to talk about. I brought two movies the other day, one called Tenet, and the other one called Love and Monsters. Tenet is about a guy it's about time traveling, basically. The guy was able to leap through time and different things. And Love and Monsters is a comedy type action film where a kid is walking through a post-apocalyptic world, but he's got to battle monsters along the way. So, And a very popular actor for that movie, particularly Love of Monsters, is a guy called Dylan O'Brien, and Dylan O'Brien was known for the Maze Runner films. So it's like, so yeah, but I haven't watched the Love of Monsters yet. I'm still watching Tenet. I got through 56 minutes of the movie so far, but the movie's 2.5 hours for that one. This is actually kind of surprising. The dumbass Pence called Kamala Harris earlier today to congratulate her on being the vice president elect, which is kind of surprising because he would never because he never usually congratulates anybody, neither does Pumpkin Tits. Now the best thing to say would be that there has been talks about Biden sending out another stimulus check. Supposedly, I've been hearing that second stimulus check that we were promised won't be out until February. Supposedly, I don't know for sure. Now, if we get the second stimulus check in February, that will be right around the time that I should be getting my tax money back from my job. Now, I haven't done it yet, but I know that my job will have it. My job, Meijer, has just announced that they're going to be giving out the COVID vaccination to people. And I don't trust myself to take the COVID yet, at least, I mean, the COVID vaccination anyway, yet, because you don't know whether you're gonna live or die. Some people took the vaccination shot and they died, and others survived, so it depends on how your immune system holds up. Supposedly, and also, Meijer's supposed to be paying people to do it, and I wouldn't chance it. Ever since that riot happened on Capitol Hill last week, everybody's been calling for Pumpkin Tits to be removed. But with only 5 days left in office, I said they tried to do the impeachment. The impeachment might carry on and after Biden gets sworn in. But Pumpkin Tits, we know he won't resign. He won't do this. He won't do that. So you know how this is. According to what I've been hearing, also Pumpkin Tits is going to depart the White House, and he's going to try to go to Mar-a-Lago on the morning of Biden's inauguration. Let's see if that does happen or not. Now there's been a lot of worse defenses for certain people, but some of the worst defenses I've seen is for Pumpkin Tits on the Capitol Hill and the riot and everything. On January 6th, misinformation promoted by Pumpkin Tits and his allies fomented a violent attempted insurrection at the U.S. Capitol in Washington, and since then, similar misinformation has been used to try to explain it all away. In the week plus since the storming of the Capitol, narratives have been quickly emerged excusing Pumpkin Tits and his inbred sycophants of culpability, but often they lack any real substantiation. Other times they've quickly been contradicted, yet still others present straw men, knocking down an argument that's not actually being made. And let's run through some of them. This was the initial narrative. It was Antifa or other provocatives, and that was the initial narrative promoted by Pumpkin Tits and his allies, despite there being no real evidence to back this up. The idea was simple. This wasn't all it was crafted to be, and some near do wells were just trying to make Pumpkin Tits look bad. Lawmakers such as Representative Dumbass Gates cited a piece from the Washington Times suggesting that facial recognition technology had identified members of Antifa in the crowd, which not true, but the article turned out to be wrong and was corrected. Representative Paul Gozer baselessly speculated the same day as the attack that it was a false flag event. Axios even reported this week that Pumpkin Tits has been pushing this narrative behind closed doors with his Twitter ban, perhaps being all that's preventing him from directly sharing it with the world. As the Washington Post fact checker wrote, there is no evidence tying Antifa to the riot. The FBI said that the day after the attack that I had no indication at this time that Antifa was involved, and as I've stated before, even on my YouTube videos, Antifa is not a fucking group, it's a fucking idea. FBI Director Christopher Wray said Thursday that more than 100 people have been arrested in connection with the event, and there's no indication that any of them are even affiliated with Antifa. Advocates of this theory have since begun to seize upon the arrest of one man involved in the scenes. John Sullivan doesn't fit the mold of a Pumpkin Tits supporter, but in fact he is a self-described racial justice activist. Pumpkin Tits' personal lawyer Rudy Caluti, late Thursday, had used the arrest to again point the finger at alleged Antifa involvement and talked about it on his podcast. Pumpkin Tits' dumbass son, the ugly fucker Don Jr., liked a tweet highlighting Sullivan's role. As the Intercept wrote Thursday of Sullivan, though he is viewed with deep suspicion among activists who know him, having latched on to various causes and having no discernible and consistent ideology, some have even expressed belief that he was a Republican infiltrator in their cause. It is possible, though, that there were some non-Pumpkin Tits supporting provocateurs in the crowd that stormed the Capitol. Of course, it was a big crowd. Activist tourism exists, and there is no evidence that they actually led the charge, though. As the House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican from California, said during the impeachment debate this week, some say the riots were caused by Antifa, which it wasn't, and there is absolutely no evidence of that, and conservatives should be the first to say so. Yet, the narrative persists and has landed with force, with a poll this week showing 74% of Republicans believing Antifa was indeed involved, which they weren't. Also, another theory is the supporters weren't actually acting on Pumpkin Tits' behalf, which actually they were. Also, during the impeachment debate this week, Representative Brian Masters, a Republican from Florida, highlighted a variation of the above theory, the idea that whoever these people were, they weren't acting on Pumpkin Tits' behalf and were directly at his request. It has only one of those individuals who brought violence on this Capitol been brought here to answer whether they did that because of our squatter, Mast asked. And he paused for effect. It appears I will receive no answer, he concluded, despite not having posed a question as an inquiry to which anyone would respond. As Philip Bump wrote afterward, though while nobody has indeed been brought to answer that question in the House's proceedings, there are examples of those who participated, citing Pumpkin Tits' invitation. One man, Jacob Chansley, also known as the QAnon Shaman, had told investigators he was there, according to court documents, at the request of the squatter that all inbreds come to D.C. on January 6, 2021. His lawyer also told CNN on Thursday night that his client felt like he was answering the call of our squatter and that he was there at the invitation of the squatter. Another man involved told Bloomberg News that he was there because of Pumpkin Tits' tweet previewing a wild protest. Another told journalist Ronan Farrell that the squatter asked for his sycophantic inbreds to be there to attend. And there are also videos of those involving citing Pumpkin Tits' invitation. Whether Pumpkin Tits' comments and actions amount to incitement requires meeting a certain legal threshold, and what's more, the above comments could be understood as Pumpkin Tits urging them to merely be there to protest rather than to get violent and overtake the Capitol. but plenty of people clearly believed that they were acting on behalf of the squatter who it bears noting, released a video the same day labeling them very special and saying, we love you, which you don't. You only love your fucking fat ass self. That doesn't exactly speak to the idea that they weren't doing what he wanted, and reporting since then he has suggested pumpkin tits who declined to forcefully repudiate the mob as the takeover was unfolding approved of the scenes in real time. The pre-planning by some shows that pumpkin tits didn't incite, which he did. Another prevalent argument that basically people talk about is that the increasing evidence of pre-planning by some involved in the attempted insurrection suggests that pumpkin tits didn't actually incite them. This is, in many ways, a straw man argument. Whether pumpkin tits bears any responsibility for his comments at the Klan rally that preceded the storming of the Capitol, that's hardly the only thing he did, which has been cited as the cause. If these federal law enforcement agencies had prior knowledge that this was a planned attack on the squatter, then the squatter didn't incite anything, said Pumpkin Tits' dumbass, ugly fucking son, dumb junior. How does the squatter incite an attack that was pre-planned and already underway before his speech was concluded? Representative Scott Perry, a Republican from Pennsylvania, asked rhetorically Wednesday. Representative Lee Zeldin, a Republican from New York, had added, we know that this was pre-planned and it started while the squatter was speaking, and why is that not in the articles of impeachment? Others have promoted similar arguments about the apparent pre-planning. If so, pumpkin tits didn't instantaneously incite them to violence on January 6th, said the conservatard journalist David Martosko. Am I wrong here? Yes. Perhaps he is wrong, but that's not the question actually posed. The argument has never been that pumpkin tits' comments on January 6th in a vacuum incited what happened. Even the impeachment article Democrats put forward cited Pumpkin Tits' prior conduct, including having his repeated suggesting the election had been stolen from him, which it wasn't. Pumpkin Tits has also repeatedly alluded to the idea that his sycophantic inbreeders might get violent and lamented that they hadn't gone as far as Democrats in fighting for their ideas. Yes, they have. But suggesting that this is about one speech is conveniently reductive, especially when even those who involved referenced this earlier comments, spurring them to action. What's more, even if this were about Pumpkin Tits' speech, just because some people planned ahead and doesn't mean others weren't incited. It's a great example of how, and when you don't have a great argument to dispute the emerging narrative, the Republicans being very notably have generally done little to actually defend Pumpkin Tits' conduct, you create a new one that is more easily debunked, but as with the above, it involves applying blinders when it comes to what has actually happened and has been alleged. But yep. Also for base. The Yankees are gonna. The Yankees have just announced they're gonna keep Aaron Judge right now. They basically renewed Aaron Judge's contract for 1 year, $10 million. But obviously, he's not the only one that's gonna stay. He might be the only one staying from the Yankees. I haven't heard anything on DJ LeMahieu or if the Yankees are planning on keeping him. But Josh Hader agreed to a deal with the Brewers for 1 year. Max Fried also agreed to a deal with the Atlanta Braves for 1 year. And Lance McCullers from Houston has agreed to a deal also for 1 year. Baseball is going to try to, from what I've heard anyway, baseball is going to try to get the whole 162-game season in. Last year they only did 60, which ain't shit. So now all the players who missed out on all those home runs last year are going to have to try to, are going to have to try to make up for all the home runs that they missed out last year. Also, this is nothing new to me. This is nothing new, anyway. But supposedly, but obviously, if it's true, it's true. If it's not, it's not. But according to polls, Pumpkin Tits' approval rating has dropped to about 29% after the Capitol riot. See, that's Pumpkin Tits' mistake, anyway, for doing that. According to what I'm reading here, the Pumpkin Tits' approval rating stands at 29%, which is an historic low for any, I think, for any president. I think the only other president to have an approval out low was George W. Bush, and I forget what his approval rating was. A historic low heading into, but Pumpkin Tits' approval rating stands at 29%, which is a historic low heading into his last week in office. A new Pew Research Center survey found Pumpkin Tits' approval with Republicans have plummeted. by 17% since August, Pugh said. The squatter was impeached for the second time on Wednesday over his role in inciting the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol on January 6. Pumpkin Tits' approval rating plummeted after the U.S. Capitol siege since a Pew Research Center survey conducted from January 8 to January 12 found. Pumpkin Tits is leaving the White House with the lowest approval rating of his squad in C, 29%, which is a drop of 9 percentage points since August. Compared with any other president, Pumpkin Tits' approval rating was remarkably steady throughout most of his tenure. According to Pew, it never went above 45 or below 36, but that changed after the Capitol siege on January 6. Pumpkin Tits' approval rating among Republicans has tanked by 17 percentage points in Pew surveys. In August, among Republicans, it stood at 77%, but now it stands at 60. The share of the Pumpkin Tit sycophantic inbreeders who described the squatter's conduct as poor also doubled over the past 2 months to 20% from 10%, according to Pew. The Pew survey found that a whopping 68% of Americans said that they didn't want Pumpkin Tits to remain a political figure after he leaves the White House, and for many, the shocking events of January 6, when some Pumpkin Tit inbreeders hated the squatters, called a march to the Capitol to protest Congress's acceptance of Biden's victory. They all went on a violent rampage throughout the building, and they have seriously marred Pumpkin Tits' final days as squatter, Pew said. The House impeached Pumpkin Tits on Wednesday over his role in inciting the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol that left 5 people dead, including one included being a police officer. He's the only U.S. squatter to be impeached twice. And Pew found that 52% of Americans said that Pumpkin Tits bears a lot of responsibility for the Capitol riot, while 24% said Pumpkin Tits is not at all responsible because they're fucking dumbasses. Pew said that about 3/4 of Americans surveyed said that Pumpkin Tits bears at least some responsibility for the violence. Actually, he bears all of it. Similarly, an insider poll released on Thursday found that 73% of Americans said that Pumpkin Tits bears a great deal or a lot of responsibility for the riot at the Capitol. An insider's poll found that less than 1/5 of Americans said that Pumpkin Tits was blameless for the violence because they're fucking idiots. Busy bitch. Get his name jacking off. No, we're not. No, we're not. We're not going anywhere. No, we're not. Nope.